You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning if you're watching from home this morning or hospital or wherever you find yourself. So many excited people today. It's good. Really excited people. Just so pumped to be painting things after the service. It's great. Love it. You know, well, last week, if you were here last week, you would know that we looked at Focus on Missions, which is our sort of annual missions morning, and looked at what we're doing for the next 12 months. But we also looked at how to be on mission. Not omniscient, how to be on mission. On mission. And just quickly, I'll go over the things that we talked about last week, because it really ties into where we're going this morning as well. So the first thing of how to be on mission was recognize and know who is around you. Pretty important thing, if we can have that up on the screen. Second one is know who you have been destined to be, a beacon of light. Really important to know these things. The third thing, be awakened and encountered by God's Spirit. We were never meant to live dry. We were never meant to live just trying to pace ourselves up. The Holy Spirit needs to encounter us so we can do what we need to do. And the fourth one is actively support the mission. Be involved on the ground, whether it's with your time, finance, talents and skills, whatever it is. Get involved, actively support it. And so from our teaching last week, it's clear that God has destined us and invited us to join him in his mission. You know, Jesus puts it like this. If you're taking notes this morning, this scripture wasn't in last week's message. Jesus puts it like this. This is what he says. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. Can it get much more simpler than that? So this is Jesus praying to God. This is a moment in prayer in John 17, where Jesus is just before God, he's just praying, just pouring out his heart towards God. He's like, in the same way, God, that you gave me a mission, I'm now passing it on to them. I'm passing the same mission that you gave me onto them. And so for the next 3 weeks in the lead up to the family Christmas gathering and our Christmas service, we're going to focus in on the scripture that has empowered us this year. And that scripture is from 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. It says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. How good is it? God has given us. You know, I'm going to read around this scripture a little bit this morning, because I just want us to just pull on it just a little bit this morning. You know, it says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, it says this. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. I remember your genuine faith. And for those of us who have been paying attention, we just came out of our big faith series, right? And I was reading it again this week. And I'm like, oh, I didn't see that last time I looked at this. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. That's some legit old school names, isn't it? Love it. And I know that the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you. And I just want to encourage you that you share the same faith as those who have gone before you. You're like, oh yeah, but my mother and my grandmother weren't. Let's not just discount it to family connection, right? You're part of the family of God, sons and daughters. You have genuine faith inside you. And this is why we say today, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you. You've got gifts, you've got skills, you've got talents, you've got spiritual gifts, you've got ministry gifts. Fan it into flame in your workplace that God has called you to, in the space that God has called you to be active on during your week. Fan that gift into flame. Encouragement for you this morning. Fan into flames a spiritual gift God gave you. It's not, Paul didn't give it to Timothy. Paul may have laid his hands on, but God gave and imparted. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Awesome. And so what I want to talk to you about this morning is this. Message this morning is actually called Power for Purpose. What I want to do is unravel a little bit for you today is, how do I fulfill my purpose? Because maybe for some of us, we've spent half our lives chasing what is my purpose. It's like, God, what's my purpose? You may be praying that prayer still. God's what is my purpose? I'm gonna give it to you this morning. I'm gonna give to you what the Bible says is your purpose here on planet Earth. And you can stop praying about that. And then you can start praying about, how am I gonna fulfill it? Isn't that good? Power for purpose. You know, next week's message is gonna be called Love for Purpose. And the week after that, the message is gonna be called Sound Mind for Purpose. We're going to give you some real practical hows as to go and change your world. You know, one of the things that I learned through the Big Faith series was that the faith of the giants in the Bible, those individuals who persevered, those individuals who exercised faith, they were those who had an encounter and exchange with God. You look at Elijah and Elisha, encounter, exchange. Abraham and Isaac, encounter, exchange. There are moments for each. Abraham and Sarah, moments of exchange where the Holy Spirit, God's power, came and exchanged with them, encountered them. Mary and God, encounter and exchange. So they were faithful in their everyday. We really captured that in the life of Elisha. Faithful in their everyday. They may not have always got it right the first time, and sometimes the second time, and even the third time. But they repositioned themselves in faith for an encounter with God. And I say that today as an encouragement to you. You may not have got it right the first time, or the second time, or the third time, but there's still space and time for you to reposition yourself for the encounter and exchange that God has for you. There's still time and space for you to do that. Now, one of the things that I really want us to capture today, I want you to see in the 2 Timothy scripture, is that the Apostle Paul was stirring Timothy, reminding Timothy that God had moved in his life before and he can do it again. Why do I want us to capture that and see that? God has moved in your life before and he's going to do it again. The Spirit of God and power has moved in your life before and is going to move in your life again. See, that spirit that was in Timothy, it wasn't a spirit of fear, not a spirit of anxiousness, not a spirit of being downtrodden. The spirit that filled him, that fills him, is powerful. And that same spirit that is powerful, when you come into salvation, when the Spirit of God is imparted to you, the same power dwells within you. And I want to encourage you, for those who have been walking around feeling anxious, for those who have been walking around feeling downtrodden, not for a moment should you deny that those feelings are real, but that's not the Spirit that fills you. Real feelings, very real feelings, feelings that you need to work through, feelings that you need to talk about, and why are these feelings here? But that's not the Spirit that fills you. The Spirit that fills you is a spirit of power. Yeah. Those other things are real feelings because of real things that have or haven't happened. But the Spirit that fills you is power. The challenge of the mind, isn't it? It's a challenging place up there, isn't it? It's a challenging place up there. I want to encourage you. There comes a time in each and every single one of our lives where we actually have to start to speak to that place? Will we start? We need to start having dialogue with that place. I'm not talking about sitting in a corner speaking to yourself. I'm talking about healthy dialogue in your mind. So often we can go along and sit, go to someone else. You might come and sit with me and you're like, tell me what's going on in my mind. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on in your mind. You're the only person that can have the internal dialogue to find out what's going on in your mind. Can you go and sit down with someone else and talk through the things? Absolutely, but you need to learn. It's like these feelings of feeling down and downtrodden. Why do I feel like this? Ask yourself, why do I feel like this? What has brought me and led me to this place? Like maybe you can't get all the answers on it. Yep, come and catch up with me. Go and see a counselor, whatever you need to do. But ask yourself the question. There are no quick fix pills to deal with what's up here. It's a long journey of dialogue inside and dialogue between people and prayer and counseling and the power of the Spirit that fills you that leads to a well-formed person. Amen? Amen. That wasn't in my notes, but it's good. Your encouragement to you today is the Spirit of God fills you with power, encourages you and empowers you. God's power dwells within you. So what does Paul do? He reawakens Timothy. Last week we heard about the Word of God preaching to reawaken people, to awaken people to purpose. Paul speaks to Timothy. Paul's already following Jesus, but Paul speaks like, let be reawakened. Fan that flame that's inside of you. Fan that passion, that gift that's inside of you. Reignites the fire within you. So today, for you, I too am encouraging you, be reawakened. Be reignited by the power of God. For you, an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Today, for you, an encounter with the Holy Spirit. For you, an exchange of the old for the new. An exchange of fear for power. An exchange for clouded thoughts for clarity. You understand what I mean? Whatever it is that you're wrestling with, there's a tension with, exchange it for the power of God and everything that He's going to release into your life in that process. So this Spirit of power that you receive from Jesus causes you to begin to see clearly. Causes you to begin to see. Maybe it'll look a little bit cloudy to begin with, but before it was darkness. And then you encounter Him again and just a bit clearer and a bit clearer and a bit clearer. And eventually you begin to see things as He wants you to see those things. See, the Spirit of power that you receive from Jesus, yes, it causes you to see clearly and walk strongly, but it causes you to dominate with a clear mind. No longer being downtrodden on top of, but up on your tippy toes, leaning forwards into life with a clear mind. That's what the power of God does for you. But more importantly, it powers you for significant purpose. You were never called to feel like you had zero purpose or reason for existing in this world. Notice that you were never meant to feel like that. God wants to empower you for the specific purpose that He has for you. Our significant purpose, your significant purpose, is found in Acts 1 verse 8. Yep, I'm going there. Acts 1 verse 8. It says this, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. You know, witnesses are people of action. They're people of action. Whether it's with their words, whether it's with their physical body, they're doing things to show people, whether their people are seeing it or whether people are hearing it, they're doing things that witness the life of Jesus. They're doing things that witnesses the power of Jesus to others. Telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. I prefer to put it like this. Here, there, and everywhere. Here, this is our Jerusalem, right? Here, Geelong's our Jerusalem. There and everywhere. wherever it is that God causes you to step, whatever space God calls you to walk into, here, there, and everywhere, you're called to be an example. We find our purpose when the Spirit of God comes upon us and empowers us to be on the same mission that Jesus was given also. And so, like I said it before, this was Jesus' prayer for us in John 17, verse 18. Jesus was praying, and the prayer that he prayed on our behalf to God was this. Let's read it again. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. Isn't that awesome? He passed it on, the same purpose. It's so good. And this is what I love. And let's look forward to Acts 20:24. This is Paul's response to the prayer of Jesus. This is the way that Paul responded. This is what it says. I don't care about my own life. The most important thing is that I now complete my mission. The work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace. And so why do I want to highlight that today? See, Jesus is before God. He's like, God, my Father, you gave me this awesome mission. And now I'm passing it on to them also. Paul gets this revelation out of Jesus' prayer and words. He's like, now my life, the most important thing in my life right now is that I complete my mission. Jesus prayed it. Jesus passed it on. Now it goes to the point of saying, I don't even care about my own life. The most important thing that I can do right now on planet Earth is tell people about the good news of God's grace, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in you. His power is in you. What does that look like? How do we comprehend that? Godly power, not worldly power. We're not talking about strong, dominating, controlling power. That's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about godly capacity and ability to accomplish God's purpose. That's the type of power we're talking about. Strong godly power, not strong worldly power. Can I encourage you, if you have been subject to people dominating you with strong worldly power, whether that be family, work, whatever space you're in, allow the Holy Spirit to begin to re-soften your heart. Because when you suffer at the hands of worldly power, it builds walls around your heart. Hearts get calloused because of just the impact, the constant impact of that worldly power. I want to encourage you, let God's power begin to re-soften your heart so that you can actually exercise the purpose that you've called to be on. There's a whole lot of other things around that, but when your heart's got walls around it, when your heart's calloused, it's really, really difficult to outwork God's gracious kindness from that place. You might be able to do it on Sundays for 2 hours, but it's really hard to go and do that on a significant basis throughout your week, on a consistent basis throughout your week. So I just want to encourage you, let the Holy Spirit, God's power, encounter you. Just to begin to soften your heart. Soften your heart. Three things. I'm going to give you three things. Three things that you can do to fulfill your purpose. If you're not taking notes, I strongly urge you. This is probably when you want to start writing. Everything else has been good, but this is like important. This is important. The first one, power-filled people position themselves for encounter. They don't just get power-filled. They position themselves in front of God. They position themselves in a place where the Spirit of God can speak to them, can pour out power into them, can counsel them. Do you understand where I'm going with this morning? Positioning oneself. You know, maybe you've got this thought in your head. Maybe you've got this feeling at the moment that thank you very much, Pastor Lee, for sharing that, but as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work anymore because you don't do it anymore. You have to consistently put yourself in a place where the Spirit of God can work on those things. Let's be honest. There are some horrible things that happen to us throughout life. And they can make it very, very difficult to want to come and stand in front of God. So, or you're coping. You're surviving. You're just holding on by a thread. And like the idea of going and bearing your heart before God, or coming, have someone coming alongside of you and praying with you through the situation, is like, I'm going to come undone if I do that. So the withdrawal begins. Can I power-filled people whose hearts are soft position themselves for the encounter? It's a place that you need to visit regularly. It's a place that you need to avail yourself to regularly. Number two. Power-filled people have purpose. And they don't just have purpose, they exercise their purpose. Does that make sense? They exercise their purpose. Because if you've got purpose and you don't do anything, I was thinking about it this week, you know, without purpose, without the power of being used, sort of becomes this place of familiarity. It's not even like an amazing place anymore. It's like, oh yeah. You know, it's nice to get prayed for. It's nice to feel the little like goosebumps every now and then. Yeah, it's good, I guess. But when you're exercising your purpose, you need to come back to that place. You have to come back to the place of power. I began to think about it. You know, a light plugged into its power source is only useful when it's switched on. So we can get like this beautiful little lamp and we can go and plug it in. And we can even actually turn the PowerPoint on. But if we don't switch the light on, it never achieves purpose. It never, ever achieves. It's literally, it becomes an ornament when it's in standby position. And my heart for you is that you don't become an ornament standing in the church or sitting in the church. My heart for you is that you don't become an ornament in your workplace, sitting in the corner. The power's turned on at the wall, but you haven't switched on your purpose and activated your purpose within the workplace. We're not called to be ornaments. We're called to be bright beacons of light, as we heard last week. So when it's turned on, it becomes a beacon of light when it's used for purpose, spreading light to what was dark. But it also lights the way for others. Purpose, the mission that we've been given. Number three, powerful people are mission attentive. They're mission attentive. Would you like me to go and explain that a little bit further? Powerful people are mission attentive. They're anchored. They're loyal, dependable, resolute, committed, certain and centered. In other words, they don't get easily distracted. Yeah, sometimes we get distracted. Like when there's something that blows up over here in life, it's hard not to look, right? You got to deal with stuff. But it doesn't take them off purpose. It doesn't take us off purpose. We don't get easily swayed. We don't get off purpose. Our purpose doesn't become confused because of circumstance, or where our purpose doesn't become confused because we begin second guessing it. People who are mission attentive, they're passionately committed to the clear reason why the church exists. Not why Gateway exists, why the church exists. The mission that he was given and he's given to us. Passionately committed. So you're a part of a mission that's attentive. I speak this over you today. I wrote this down to speak this over you today. You are part of a mission attentive, mission anchored, mission dependable, mission committed, mission centered church. You are part of that. You are part of a church that loves that. you get to join in on God's mission and outwork your purpose here on Sundays, but even more so in the spaces that God's called you to during the week. You know, we're here for 2 hours maybe on a Sunday. Some people maybe a little bit longer. It'd be pretty sad to present yourself before God and position yourself before God to be empowered and then only use it for 2.5 hours on a Sunday. What a sad place to be. I mean, it's great for the church on Sunday, but not so great for the people in your spaces throughout the week. Mission dependable, mission attentive. And what spaces has he called you to actually be that light in throughout the week? It could be worth asking yourself that question. Again, if there's no internal dialogue, we just go about life. Does that make sense? It makes sense for me. There's moments where I have to actually stop and I was like, what am I doing here? It's not that I didn't know what I was meant to be doing there, but I wasn't doing what I was meant to be doing there. Anybody else? Yeah. What does this look like for you? What does this look like for your purpose? You know, as a person, as the church, what does this look like for you? Those three specific things. Powerful people position themselves. Powerful people have purpose. Powerful people are mission attentive. What does this look like for you? In family, what does this look like for you? Maybe you've got these deep desires that your kids will follow on in being a Christian. Can I encourage you, what you show to them of what it means to be a Christian will either make or break whether they pursue it or just see it as something familiar. It's got to be power-filled. It's got to be for purpose. It's got to be attentive to the mission. Otherwise, it's just coming to church Sunday. What does this look like for you and I? What does this look like for us as a church? What I want us to do today, I've preached a super short message this morning on purpose. I want us to create a space this morning. I want us to create a space where we can just position ourselves in front of God and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, let your power fill me again afresh. Holy Spirit, seal in me your purpose. Holy Spirit, help me to become centered on being mission attentive. Whatever it looks like for you this morning. I truly believe that for a large amount of people in our church this morning, the Holy Spirit wants to come and encounter you. Wants to come and encounter you this morning. Holy Spirit. Lord God, encounter us this morning so we can outwork our purpose in whatever space it is that you've called us to. Holy Spirit.